Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 81.
Six years? Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously. Does not feel like it.
No. I blinked and it was 6 years later.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Happy anniversary.
It is time once again for the Shared Desk, and I am your host, T. Morris.
Ooh! Gave myself goosebumps.
I gave myself goosebumps too every time I introduce myself in this show. I also get goosebumps when I introduce my lovely half over there.
Hi, I'm Philippa Ballantyne.
Knowledge is power.
Seize him. Cut his throat. Stop. Wait. I've changed my mind. Let him go. Step back 3 paces. Turn around. Close your eyes. Power is power.
That's my baby right there.
What's that from?
Game of Thrones.
Oh.
You don't recognize Darth Cersei? In her, well, at that time she hadn't gone totally, you know, back in black. I'm in the sack. I'm in,
yeah,
ready,
yeah,
good to be back, you know, and all that stuff.
Oh, I'm,
yeah,
Cersei. I don't think I'm Cersei. I wish I was the Lady of Thorns.
Yes, but, yes. Well, there we go. I could see you being more of a Lady
just
of Thorns.
More of a sarcastic-y,
yeah, yeah,
smart ass.
Yeah. Going down swinging right to the very end.
Swinging.
Tell Cersei I did it.
Yes, I did it.
I did it and I'm proud of it. And guess what? I do it again. Ah, Dame Diana Rigg.
So, woof, yeah. Hello, Dame. Yeah, so you and I have been married for 6 years.
And, 6 years.
And how
six
long
years.
Has the podcast been going for? I mean, it's 81 episodes, but we
celebrated our fourth anniversary, our fourth year of the Shared Desk. I mean, I could scroll through the show notes and try to find when we posted the very first episode, but it was at least 4 years ago.
Wow.
And so 80 episodes across 4 years, you know, that we kind of hopped off the rails at one point.
We had a couple of years there where things, yeah, were a little bit wibbly wobbly.
Just a bit, you know, just a little bit of
tackle on grapple.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
mostly grapple.
Mostly grapple, but we got through it. And There's been some starts and stops, but in fact, this past week we had kind of a rough start and stop. We were back on track, and then we hopped off the rails again because we had 3 weeks go by, and I'm trying to even remember what happened in those 3 weeks. It was just everything's been kind of a blur of late.
It is. It's,
yep.
It's like, whoa, is Halloween coming up?
Yeah, I know that it was September when I blinked, and the next thing I knew it was October, and. And then there was, we were doing something in September.
We're always doing something, darling.
And I I am completely blanked on what it was that was the hiccup. But we're back, and it's nice to be back. And we decided that for our anniversary, it would be appropriate to record a podcast
about us,
and about our writing, and about our writing. Yeah. What have you been working on this week, anyway?
Well, this weekend I was editing chapters of Operation Endgame, and it's coming together nicely.
It is coming across very nicely.
I'm editing, and then I'm throwing it through some editing software, which I found very useful for finding, you know, passive voice and, you know, commas. I love throwing commas around, man. So I need somebody to tell me when to stop. So I've been doing that. But during the weekdays, I was working on my newly titled The Fierce Dead.
Okay.
Southern
that's
Virginia.
That's the one that's set in Southern Virginia, right?
Yeah, and the town is actually called Fierce Gap.
Okay.
That's why it's called that. Because there's a town in Virginia called Fancy Gap.
Fancy Gap, but you decided you wanted to make it Fierce Gap.
I wanted to make it like more staunch.
Got it.
So yeah, I've been doing that. But
busy week.
Work.
So
indeed,
that's good.
Always.
And
always.
Yeah.
Running the email lists as I am.
Work.
That's my new thing.
Yep. Okay. And then as far as I've been going, I've been doing the last minute touches on a proposal that I'm going to be sending out tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning after this recording, I should say. So by the time this goes live,
it'll be out there.
So I got a proposal for that. It's actually a proposal because I've talked about it on the show before, for Wolf in the Fold.
Yes.
And I believe I finally came up with a working title for the series, which it was called Sentinel's
Journey.
Sentinel's Journey. That's what
I mean,
it's called.
As I've said on my Patreon, found it at patreon.com/PJValentine. You know, title.
Go ahead and mumble it because, you know,
I'm going to mumble it. You're going to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic.
You know, titles are always very, you know, malleable and variable, but it's nice to have something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, yeah. So we got that. And then we've got, let's see, and then I've been working really hard on Operation Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
We've been juggling a lot of plates, rewriting a lot of scenes. Getting
slashing,
building cutting, up, building up,
tearing down again,
and we have new characters that suddenly said, "No,
what
no, no,
hell?
You got to get me in there. You got to get me in there."
Work.
And it's just been,
like, where did you come from? I'm not telling you, but I'm definitely in the book.
Try it again, hon. I believe it was this. I'm not telling you, but I have to be in the book, Mr. Chandler.
Nod, nod, wink, wink.
Yes.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
And how Eva Green does it.
And it's worked out pretty well so far.
I couldn't say no to this character.
No, and she insisted on coming along for the adventure.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Thank you. I will.
So we've been doing on that, and we're over 100,000 words, and yeah. At the moment it's just really stuffing it, you know,
We're just trying to get it all back in there. It's been a man. I need a break.
But you're not getting one because it's our anniversary.
No, it's not. Yep. Anniversary.
Work.
There you go. but we wanted to go very personal on this particular shared desk
because we were talking about what do we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And strangely, this week, no writers stuck their foot in their mouths.
I guess that's because Lanny Sarem's 15 minutes are done.
They're done. Yeah.
And I'm thrilled about that. Oh, hey, guess what? I have a recording of a book critic that actually read the Handbook for Mortals.
Private Pyle, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Exactly 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you.
I don't think he liked it.
No, I've heard that. I've heard, not that particularly, but something similar.
We were going to dedicate an entire show about Lanny.
The whole world gone crazy!
But we thought better of it.
Yeah, we were like, I think she's done.
She's done. So then we said, well, what could we talk about on our anniversary? And that's when you said we should talk about us.
We should talk about us.
And I
posited the question. What if we'd never got married and wrote together? Or wrote together?
Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. And before we go any further, I have to give a quick shout out to Nobilis Reed over at nobiliserotica.com, who said, this is a great couples cast, and we always said it was never a couples cast, and now this episode
it's a couples cast.
Yeah, there we go.
It's our anniversary.
Yeah.
I've got a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
But
I would point out that it may not be a couples cast, but it is about collaboration.
Yes.
Therefore, it is about us.
Yes, it is. But so... I mean, honestly, where would we now? When you say where would we be without us, you're talking about from the collaboration standpoint or from the couple standpoint?
No, from the collaboration, our writing career standpoint.
Because
if we go back and look at where we were before we started collaborating,
You already had Lori.
Yes.
Yeah. You already had Lori McLean. As your agent.
And Geist had just sold, but not come out.
And Geist had just sold, but hadn't come out. So definitely you would not be at Dragon Moon Press, I don't think. I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would still be at Dragon Moon Press. Now,
do you think?
I think. Yeah, I do. And now before it sounds like I'm poo-pooing on Dragon Moon Press, I'm not. DragonMoonPress.com. In fact, I today got a payment from Dragon Moon Press for not just sales of The Complete Guide to Volume Fantasy Volumes 1 through 3. Also in there were sales from Podthology, which I wrote a foreword for. I have a story in there. Alongside, it is the first time, and I think a part... No, it's the first time that I've ever appeared in print alongside Phil Rossi. And
well, obviously,
right
in in this mirror universe, the Tales from the Archives never happened. So
right, exactly,
that would be it.
That would be it. But I would still be with Dragon Moon. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I would be working. I would be working a lot harder.
Would you have written steampunk?
I would have attempted to write steampunk. Probably with the original idea I had. I don't think I've ever told the story of the original idea I had.
Well, we've talked briefly around it.
We talked briefly around it, but that's about it. So the original idea for the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences was actually an homage to Stargate. It was an African-American woman, young, 30s, maybe late 20s, early 30s, and she was giving a presentation. She was giving a presentation on the development of ancient cultures, not just the Egyptians, but, you know, around the world, Egyptians, Mayans, et cetera, et cetera. And I even made allusions to Stargate from her point of view because it was told from her point of view. And there's one last person in the audience after everybody leaves.
Uh-huh.
And that one last person is, in fact, H.G. Wells.
Uh-huh.
And H.G. Wells basically says to her, I have a proposition for you if you just, you know, you just meet me at this address and we'll talk and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then what happened would be is that H.G. Wells and this young scientist, astrophysicist, you know, Jacqueline of many trades, if you will. The two of them would be time traveling, mm-hmm. Solving different mysteries, different great mysteries of the peculiar occurrences.
So it almost sounds a bit like Timeless.
Well, no. Remember, in Timeless, they were chasing after the terrorist.
That's true.
Who may not be a terrorist, who is causing problems in the space-time continuum as a terrorist.
But then they also cause problems in the space-time.
Boy, howdy!
They kill people left, right, and center. I
find that kind of refreshing in a weird way.
They're just like leaving bodies left and right.
When Al Capone gets gunned down, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't how history's supposed to go.
No, imagine the ripples on that.
I know. They were like... We don't care. I mean, that's part of time. That's the part of Timeless that I kind of like. They're like, "Hey, space continuum, you
whatever,
whatevs." But okay, so.
So you think you would have written that story?
I would have written that story.
But that's not steampunk. It's just science fiction.
It was science fiction with a steampunk bent, because they would be traveling not just back and forth.
They would be going Victorian.
They'd be going to Victorian times. They'd be working in the archives, and When you and I, just jumping off the rails for a bit, when you and I were originally planning the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, I wanted to have a Canadian cross with Dr. Sound and that woman, and
yes.
have Eliza comment internally about how oddly she thought that the woman was dressed and what was with the heels and all this stuff. But that was the original plan, and I can't even remember what I was going to call it. I think I was going to call it the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. And if not the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, I was going to call it something like, probably Ripples in Time or something along those lines. That was the original idea. I wanted to write steampunk, but I wanted to write something that, for me, was truly unique. And then... You know, and then our collaboration, but we're talking about the mirror universe where apparently you have a beard and I have a scar across my forehead. So, which, by the way, Star Trek, the original series, mirror episode turned 40 today. No, 50.
50
today.
Yeah.
Still my favorite Star Trek. I have to wonder if the Orville is going to cover that.
That'll be interesting.
That would be funny.
That'll be funny.
So anyway, but what about you?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, would you have, would you have written more? I mean, first off, I think your writing style would it have been the same if it had not been for the collaboration between the two of us?
Probably not. I feel like even outside the ministry books, I've learned a lot from writing steampunk. If that makes any real sense, I feel like it's colored other things that I've done. So yeah, I guess it would be different. I don't know. I have a feeling that I would have tried to write more historical fantasy stuff, maybe not steampunk. I can't even remember who decided that the ministry was going to be steampunk.
it was me. I decided that I wanted to write a steam. I wanted to write steampunk.
Yeah, that's right. I think you and did I was mention
gonna
the
use,
word.
And I was going to use this particular property with H.G. Wells and the Stargates, the Stargate-esque time traveling portals were going to be doors. Maybe that was going to be. It was going. I can't even remember what I was going to call the series, but I remember that I wanted the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences to be involved.
Yeah.
And you had said, well, let's take the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences and go back into their history.
Yeah.
And because you had said to me, how long has the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences been around? I said, well, I want this to be steampunk, so at least it's been around in the Victorian age.
Yeah.
And that's when you said, well, then let's do that as a way to promote
the paid podcast thing,
and then we'll use it to promote this series. And by the time we finish the paid podcast,
you'll have written the book.
I'll have written the book. And I'm like, man, that sounds great. It's a great idea.
And lasted it, about a hot minute.
A hot minute. Red hot minute. And you know,
well, luckily for us, you know.
And I'm sure this is going to get some people's hackles and arise. I think because of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, because if I had, you know, where I'm going.
I know where you're going with this.
People
are going to hunt me down.
Yeah. If I hadn't
written the Ministry.
If I hadn't written the Ministry, there's a possibility I would have written more. Billabub Baddies.
Inappropriate.
Let's fix that in post.
It's a trap.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. It's the truth. It's just, I'm really writing right now.
People want to travel to that universe.
All the Billabub Baddings fans are doing this.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
But that's true, I suppose. I mean, you got your history.
Will McAvoy is pissed at you, Pip Ballantyne.
Stop hitting those buttons.
This podcast wouldn't exist. This ridiculous podcast would not exist if it weren't for us collaborating.
I wouldn't have met some really cool people. Like, the steampunk has led us to some very interesting people.
You had me at Thomas Willerford.
Yeah.
Strange Way and Savin. Oh. Work. All these people. You got Savin. You got Philip Powell. You've got
Diana.
You've got Diana Foe. You got Ashley. You've got. I mean, we could just rattle off people.
Sal from Detroit.
The steampunk airship ambassador.
Yeah.
I mean, we got so many great people that we've met. Alita. I mean, just and that was a funny thing. I met Alita before I met you. And I didn't even know who Alita was. I just remember there was this chick walking around doing the steampunk Wonder Woman. And yeah. I thought, wow, that's cool.
And then she did the steampunk Baroness.
And I saw, but I met her. That was after we had segued into the.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have met PJ.
No.
We wouldn't have met PJ.
Wow.
Could you imagine a world with us not meeting PJ? I'd rather not, because first off,
Mirror Universe is sucky.
Mirror Universe can just bite it. I tell you what, yeah.
Our lives would have been a heck of a lot less interesting.
I think a little more insular.
Yeah,
a little more insular.
Yeah. We wouldn't have done this podcast. We wouldn't have done Tales from the Archives, obviously.
Right. I'm hating this. I'm really hating this now. You know who else we wouldn't have met?
Yeah.
Who? Allie Grauer.
Guardian down.
That sucks. I don't want to go to the Mirror Universe anymore. I effing hate the Mirror Universe. Sorry, I know.
Stay on target.
I know.
Stay on target.
The point we were going to was not just about this from the social aspect.
Yeah.
But also from the writing aspect.
Yeah,
I'm the first one to say it. I don't think I would have been as good of a writer. Because you know what? I wouldn't be able to handle short stories.
That's true.
I would not have been able to. It was you that got me out of the short story limbo. Because I couldn't write short stories to save my effing life.
Well, that's true.
I remember when Hutch.
Oh, this is getting freaky now.
Yeah, I know. Hutch asked me to write a short story and it was 10,000 freaking words.
That's not a short story.
And Hutch was like, and I remember he was just like, I want to tell you to cut a T, but I like all of it, so we're going to do it in two parts.
I would have told you to cut it.
I know you because you're and Hutch, that impersonation is not a slam on you. I love you, bro. But I also remember the same thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to cut Release Me. I tried to cut that down because the first draft I sent you was 11,000 words and you said, cut it. I cut it to 9,000 words and you were just like,
all right.
I want you to cut it, T, but damn it, everything here is needed. So, and but yeah.
Now it's a novelette.
But then I did, I believe it was, wasn't it Dagger of the Mind?
Yeah.
And that was the one I did with Jack the Ripper. And I was stunned because I wrote that thing. It was barely, it was, I think it was 5,500 words. And I was like, I got everything I need. Yeah. And you were like, wow, T. And so, yeah, I don't think I would have gotten over my fear of short stories.
See, well, when you think about it, we've been collaborating for 7 years or so, maybe even a little bit more. So that's a significant portion of our writing careers. And I think the ministry, I mean, obviously the ministry series between us is definitely the most popular thing we've ever done.
I just had to take a second because I just realized something else.
What?
Tales from a Tesla Ranger wouldn't exist.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Wow. I need some Tuaca in this now.
Yeah. So
I miss you, PG. I miss you. I effing miss you, man. But that
we
anthology.
We would still know PG.
We would know PG.
Yes.
But that anthology wouldn't have existed because you were instrumental in helping me put that together.
Yeah.
We would have still met.
Yes.
Because we met before we started collaborating together.
That's true.
So there's that. There probably would have been another Moravia, I think. I probably would have finished I wouldn't have finished the Moravia trilogy because
that
I was
Lisa
done.
Lee thing was still
The Lisa Lee thing was still hanging still over my head and I was done. and before people start sending hate mail to Pip
and
at
saying,
Pip at PJValentine.com.
Damn you killed Billy.
I also want to let folks know that when I did the last Billy Bob Battings, when I did Pitcher's Pendant, it was hard. It was a harder road for me to tread than the first one. But I probably would have produced more Billy because I didn't have anything.
But you wouldn't have done nine. Surely you wouldn't have done nine.
I would have tried. I would have probably doubled up and done a couple of, you know, like two or three
squeezed
talismans
a couple
in one
of,
book.
Yeah.
But I would
in
have
the last book it's like five talismans. Oh.
But I think it is worth mentioning that the reason I walked away from Billy and lost myself in the ministry is because I just found this world that finally I felt like everything clicked.
At home.
I felt very much at home. And I mean, I can sit behind Operation Endgame and I can create these characters that just come out of nowhere and just say, no, I am in this book now.
Yeah.
I think
when we collaborated with Phoenix Rising, which was originally called Books and Brawn.
Books and Brawn. The German
it did
name.
It did just flow really easily.
Yeah.
And so we knew that we'd hit a good vein of inspiration. So
let me give a quick behind the scenes of how this one, because I should elaborate on it because I know that last week people saw it in the they saw it on my Facebook feed. This picture of Ava Green as Vanessa Ives and saying this is Professor Henrietta Falcon of the Loveless Center. So. Pip has laid some groundwork for me to take care of in Operation Endgame, and one of the scenes was it just said in brackets it said interrogate people on trains. All right, so I'm working.
I got bored. I was like, "Sticks, do something."
Yeah. So I retooled this one interrogation scene that goes badly for Wellington, and as he's walking by this one particular table, this character spoke up and just said, sounds like you had a rather rough go there.
There you go.
And when I typed out the line, it just sounded like Ava Green from Penny Dreadful. And then we started, they were having this back and forth about the train and the passengers and all this stuff. And I thought I was done with the character. But then the character said, I prefer you to be punctual. You will meet me in the lounge at 7 o'clock. And I was like,
what?
Wait, what? And I was like, I had that stereotypical moment where I said to the character, no, you're not going to
be
in the scene. That's when she lit a cigar, took a puff from it and said, I believe you're wrong, Mr. Morris.
We are not done. I'm in this scene.
But, and I said, what about Pip? I will talk to Pip later. She will love me. I promise you. And sure enough, you know, I not only do I think Pip will love her, and then I'm sure I would have said, but wait a minute, what about our editor? And she goes, Katie already loves me. You've heard her do my impersonation. She's going to love me. So just write the damn scene.
Just put me in there.
Yeah, and
so you wouldn't have had that.
No, I wouldn't have had that magic moment. So what about you, though? Oh. I mean, you'd signed a New York contract. You didn't need me along for the ride.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have necessarily done steampunk. I really don't think I necessarily would, because I really enjoyed like Chasing the Bard and stuff like that, writing in historical settings.
Would you have done more books with Puck?
I could, yeah.
Because you know, you were coming off it when we did technically the first collaboration. I'm not talking about creative collaboration. I'm talking about marketing collaboration. Was the Double Trouble?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's going back a ways, isn't it?
That's 9 years ago.
It was 9 years
ago. Wow.
So Double Trouble. But the thing was, you had just released Digital Magic, and you said, I really like writing for Puck.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember having a concept of some Puck stories, some Puck spin-offs, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I probably would have done that, and I definitely would have explored some other historical time periods. Like I have an interest in the sort of the Regency era, so I might have written something in there. But I'm glad I don't actually have to live that.
But what did, so apart from the social aspect of it, from a writer's perspective,
yeah.
What did the collaboration with us, what did the collaboration bring to your writing?
Well, I think I've learned stuff from you.
Wow. Wow.
At least I have chicken.
I mean,
what I mean is,
I mean, yeah,
you complete me.
Oh, dear God!
I'm now gonna
can
make
I
this.
Get a hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
I'm gonna make this pencil disappear.
Well, all right, all right. I mean,
no, I'm serious.
You're doing Heath Ledger. I'm over here. I'm over here.
Matthew McConaughey.
Time is like a flat circle.
We've done this before. We'll do it again.
Sundays is when I start drinking, and noon. You boys don't get to interrupt that.
And that's a drop. We have that as a drop in somewhere.
But you're just doing it yourself.
I'm just doing it myself.
All right, all right.
No, seriously, I think you've taught me a lot about, you know, some of the areas where I lack. I feel like I've learned a lot from you, like writing action scenes and things like that, and writing snappy dialogue.
She says that, but then I get this. She hands me the manuscript and goes, all right, T, action scene, make them do stuff.
Well, just because I can do it.
That doesn't mean you want
to. Doesn't necessarily mean I want to do it.
So action scene, snappy dialogue. What else?
I mean, I find that in my writing The Fierce Dead, I have to do that by myself. So I'm a bit more action oriented than I used to be.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, because we're editing each other's stuff, so we also learn stuff about editing, you know, other people. I was, before we collaborated, I was not good at that. I didn't feel confident about doing that. I don't want to live in that universe.
You don't want to live in that mirror universe. Nah, I'm sorry. I'm just going to come out and say it. That mirror universe, it sucks ass. It really sucks ass. Yeah, it's that time when you're asking...
Oh, what's in the box?
Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations.
Time for a Loot Crate Looky-Loo on the shared desk.
What's in the fucking box?
You want to see it open as well as I.
We also wouldn't have these great drop-ins.
Oh my gosh, we can't live without the drop-ins that you've provided. You've dropped drop-ins on me.
So before we get into the Loot Crate Looky-Loo, I think it's worth noting we just had another geek milestone with our child, Sonic Boom,
yeah.
Serena. We introduced her to the original Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And she liked it.
She did.
I didn't think she. I didn't. I don't.
You didn't
I don't
think
mean
she'd
that,
like it.
I don't mean this as an insult to Serena.
Well, she is 13.
She's 13, but that's a pretty cerebral movie.
It is.
It's not 2001 cerebral.
No,
but it is Ex Machina cerebral.
It is.
Yeah. Ooh. You think she's ready for Ex Machina?
I have to think about that one.
Yeah, yeah, because that's a pretty intense one too.
That is.
Again, it's AI. But yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. So hey, look, if you have opinions about whether or not we should introduce our 13-year-old daughter to, because the reason why is that she might get a kick out of seeing Ex Machina, and then we take her to see the same actress playing Lara Croft in Tomb Raider, because she would probably get a kick out of Tomb Raider.
I don't know if that's worth it. We'll have to think about that.
We'll have to think about that one. But hey, we'd love to hear from you guys. So 703-791-1701, or you can write us at pip@pjballantyne.com. That's where you also direct the hate mail to, or t@tmorris.com. All right, now the last loot crate, I believe... I believe I opened it, so it's your turn. So you go on ahead and open this one. We're a little late. I already took care of the seal.
Oh, you did? All right, you took care of the seal, so I can crack open the box.
You should be able to crack open the box. We've been sitting on this one for a few weeks.
Not literally sitting on it. That
not
would be
sitting
difficult.
On it? No, that'd be uncomfortable.
Okay, so here we have the shirt of the day.
I'm trying to remember the theme. We'll get to the theme later, but
Wallace Corporation.
What?
Oh. Blade Runner shirt.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because, of course, Blade Runner 2049 came out.
Oh, that's right. So the Wallace Corporation, I wonder if the, I thought the Tyrell Corporation was still around. Oh, you know what it was?
Mm.
The theme is robots.
Ah.
Robotics.
So in here, we've got a collectible 3D wooden model of R2-D2, who was my favorite robot for a very long time until BB-8 came along. Stole my heart.
Okay, so basically it's a 3D model. That's wow, that looks complicated. Does not include decorating materials.
So this one is a little collector's. I don't know if this is a
That's from Aliens.
It's a fat I don't know if it's called Queen Takes Bishop.
No.
And it's
oh my god, that is genius.
It is poor old Bishop. Getting up close and personal with an alien queen.
Oh, no.
And not coming off well.
Some assembly required?
There's bits, yeah.
Queen takes Bishop. That's fantastic.
Here's one that I think will be nice for you, particularly.
Oh, wow.
It's a comic, right?
No, it's not just that.
Mm.
It's Star Trek. This is like the best of all worlds combined. This is an IDW does some great stuff with the Mirror Mirror Universe. They did a Mirror Mirror Universe with the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite cool. But this is an exclusive IDW, and it's called Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Broken, The Origin of Data. And if I remember correctly, in the Mirror Mirror Universe...
We were just talking about Mirror Mirror Universe. And, well, that must be because
it says Star Trek Next Gen... 30th anniversary. See, that's the funny thing. So Star Trek Next Gen was what, so they, all right. So in the Mirror Mirror Universe, they did that for TOS. They did it for Enterprise. They did it for DS9, but they never did it for Star Trek Next Gen. They did do it in the comic books. And I believe they also did it as a novel, but they never televised it. They never did anything like that. So apparently in this IDW comics version, Picard is the one who has the goatee.
Oh.
And of course it's got he's got the silver fox happening with the goatee. Wow, I can't wait to tear into that. Well, I don't want to tear into
here's the button for that's cute.
That's robotic. That's a cool one. That's a really cool one. I do like their pins. We need to get on that sash. We need to get on that. Oh, by the way, in the show notes, I want to drop a real quick shout out to the Kellys over at Geek Wolfpack Podcast at geekwolfpackpodcast.com. They actually did a really nice frame of the Destiny painting that that Nick got me and the patches from Loot Crate. It looks really, really sharp.
Sharp. I'm just breaking the alien
Don't
queen.
Don't break the alien queen,
I think,
honey.
She's going to be mad at me.
Oh, dear. Okay, anything else in the box? The booklet?
Well, interestingly, the box in the inside can turn around and you make like a cereal box that says Cog Krispies. For silicon-based constructs, fortified with essential elements and alloys for extra processing power.
That's cute.
So it's very cute. And then they've, of course, got their little...
the booklet.
The little booklet.
The robotic booklet. You know what I'm surprised they didn't have in here for this one? Oh, my God. I'm now looking at the finished product of Alien Takes Bishop... Of Queen Takes Bishop.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Oh, close up, it's even better. That's fantastic. You know, I'm surprised they didn't have in here for robotic.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they didn't have anything from Portal. And they didn't have anything from Ex Machina.
Yeah, I was just thinking about.
But then again, Ex Machina was one of those. It was one of those low budget sleeper films.
Yeah.
Because remember, it had a cast of what, four, maybe five.
Yeah, not many.
It was a smaller cast than Disaster LA.
I am sucking at putting this alien together.
Okay, so I want to keep the comic. Haven't seen the movie Blade Runner 2049 yet, so that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, tell us about that.
But I am not going to have time to build the R2 unit.
Okay, well,
do you want to keep it? Or do you want to put it in the prize box?
Let somebody else have some fun with it. You know,
then that's we're gonna put the R2. We're gonna put the wooden.
But I'm keeping this alien crane.
Well, you're gonna have to build her. Build her properly.
I can't get her legs on, man. It's a design flaw.
It's
not pit proof.
Don't, baby. Don't hate the toy. Hate the toy maker. Something like that. I got nothing.
You got
nothing. So before we wrap up this show, I thought I'd want Pip to know, did you know that the All Blacks...
I do know them.
...have a podcast?
No, I did not know that.
Yes, I was... My thumb...
Brew!
My thumb brushed against an all black announcement.
Your thumb brushed against an All Black?
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm never washing this thumb again. And it said, do you have a question for Artie Saveya? Comment below and we will put the best ones to him on the hashtag All Blacks podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Now, before you say, man, that sounds racist. No, the All Blacks are the premier New Zealand rugby team.
World Cup
champions. They are the Bledisloe Cup champions. They came to Chicago and completely crushed the USA Eagles.
Oh, poor guys.
Even though they were in America, they were more All Blacks fans than there were US Eagles fans. And they're also just really good guys there, bro. Good guys, bro. So look them up, the All Blacks podcast. I'm gonna have to listen. Also, real quick, as Pip continues to,
I'm giving up on this alien queen, man.
No, not
somebody's
you.
Somebody's gonna put its legs on.
You're
it's
gonna,
not me.
You're gonna finish that. I know you are.
She's legless. She's been having a few drinks.
So one other thing too. There's been a lot of chit chat online about don't put him on Sebastian because you know what's going to happen. He's going to start chewing on.
You can
things.
Put a lot of things on Sebastian.
He's a big boy.
He's really relaxed.
And before I get into what I was going to say, I did want to do a quick shout out. We got a note on the photograph of me and Pip that is now currently my profile pic. It's from Erin Kasmark. She goes, what's your anniversary? It's mine and Theo's too. Not our wedding anniversary, the anniversary of when we started dating. Too cool. I hope your day has been wonderful. It has been.
Up until the point where I couldn't put the alien queen together.
And I still argue that she's going to put that alien queen together because Pip never shies away from a challenge.
So, I'm going mean, to hammer
look
that
at,
leg
look
in there.
At who she married. Okay.
that is true.
So... real quick, though, there has been a lot of chatter.
Chit-chat, chatter,
just basic back and forth about the new Apple podcast app.
Ooh, not good stuff, either.
Not good at all. Apparently, the iOS 11 podcast app, which is supposed to revolutionize the way podcasts are supposed to be handled and the way they're supposed to be listened and the way you handle their metrics, apparently doesn't work. As a matter of fact, I just was told by my partner in crime, Chuck Tomasi, over at chuckchat.com and also podcastingfordummies.com. Remember, the PIY workshop, it's coming up. So Chuck was telling me about how if you don't listen to an episode...
Yeah. What, it takes it away from you?
Yes.
No podcast it takes for
it,
you.
It takes it out of... And instead of trying to find the feed that has all the previous episodes, apparently the new podcast app doesn't do that.
It just is not.
And then there's just some people that just can't get the podcast app to launch. So that being said,
awesome.
I would at this point say, well, give Stitcher a try. But my problem this past week with Stitcher has been that Stitcher doesn't want to play any of my podcasts either. It will cycle through the show art of all the different podcasts that I haven't listened to yet, and then crash.
Oh my gosh, a good week for podcasting then.
So here's the thing I wanted to mention to you all. Overcast.
Ooh.
This is a brand new app. I put a posting on over at Podcasting for Dummies. I'll drop a link in the shows. Not in the Podcasting for Dummies website, but you are. It can't be that hard. It can't be that hard.
I can make it that hard.
I bet you can. But that's what she said.
I'll just post a picture of the half-made thing.
Oh, for Pete's sake, stop it.
Oh, my God. I am surrounded by idiots.
What I was saying, though, was about Overcast. This is an app that's brand new to me, and it is slick. They must have been using some sort of, the 8-ball technology looking into the future.
Yeah.
Because there is a function in the Overcast app that says, would you like to import your feeds from podcast, from Apple Podcast app?
And we know it's absolute poop. So
now, I'm just going to go ahead and run this down. This is a powerful yet simple podcast player for iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. So apparently it does not run on Android. Sorry about that. There are plenty of other apps that are out there for podcasting listening. That was my thing. But for any of my Mac folk out there who are looking for an alternative, I'm going to recommend Overcast. And you can find them at overcast.fm. It's a very slick app. It's very well put together. It's stable. You can access it by unlistened episodes. You can also listen to it through the feed itself. You can also in Overcast decide how you want to listen, from oldest to newest or from newest to oldest. So there's a lot that Overcast has going for it.
The Apple app currently does not.
The Apple app currently does not. And as far as the analytics, it's kind of hard to get those analytics if you can't listen to your own damn episodes. So there you go.
Nice.
All right. So we've got some events coming up. I know that in October.
21st,
we are going to be at the Maryland Renaissance Festival.
Page after page.
And we're going to be at page after page. It's going to be a good time. It's always a good time at page after page. Looking forward to that episode. It's going to be a lot of episode. Looking forward to that appearance. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be punked out once again.
Yep.
And should be plenty of fun. In December, and as soon as I have the dates, I will let you all know, but there is a Star Wars Day happening in Woodbridge. And Nick Kelly and I are going to be there. We're going to be promoting and doing some stuff out there, probably grabbing some interviews for Nerd Out, if Nerd Out is still a thing. but also we're planning to just be out there and having a good time talking about really good podcast. Sorry, I've got podcasts on the brain now. Really good soundtracks in truly terrible films. They came to our talks at Escape Velocity, liked them so much, said
they wanted it for themselves.
And they wanted it for themselves. So more information on Star Wars Day as it's coming. Pip, we don't have any other appearances in November, do we?
And this year is running to a close,
this
my
year
darling.
Is running to a close. And of course, as you heard me say earlier, October 28th, and stick around for the promo at the very end. October 28th, my birthday, is the Podcast It Yourself Workshop, the PIY Workshop 2017, happening in Phoenix, Arizona. And that is where Chuck and I will be officially launching Podcasting for Dummies, the third edition. But don't worry if you can't get to the event, it's okay, because Chuck and I already have the book available. Well, we don't have the book. Wiley made the book available. It is now currently available wherever books are sold. So the brand new Podcasting for Dummies edition is out. It does not help in any way with the assembly of an alien queen. I'm sorry, but it can help you do what we're doing right now, which is podcasting.
I know. So, yeah, if you're in the Arizona area, get on over there, because it's not just you and Chuck. There's a bunch of other
We got
cool podcasting Illuminati.
Illuminati. Illuminaries.
Oh, no, gosh. I've just revealed it.
Yeah, the Illuminati are podcasters. But, yeah, we've got I know that Kevin J. O'Connor, TD0013,
yes.
He's going to be out there. Jack Mangan, he's going to be out there. Michael Menengay, he's going to be out there. We got plenty of people that are coming out. And they're going to be showing their support, even though they may not be actively podcasting, they will be showing their support for the event. And we're looking forward to all the different talks that are happening out there.
So, you know, if you're pod curious, Get yourself out there.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Yeah, because actually Pip is actually working really, really hard.
To post stuff
on Instagram.
Lots of cat content,
absolutely. And I believe it's PJ Ballantyne, yes. on Instagram.
Yes, it is.
As for me, you can find me on all my various platforms. Remember, Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is underway. And if you want to subscribe to that, you can find us on iTunes. Stitcher, Google Play. Don't know if Stitcher is going to work. I know the Google Play works.
Give it a shot.
But remember, you can always go over to Overcast. And and that's podcastingfordummies.com as well. Have I covered it all? I believe I have.
I think we have.
So until next time, just remember, folks, that the shared desk is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States license. And you can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. So until next time, thanks for listening. Happy anniversary, baby. And enjoy the ride.
I'll catch you later. And you can fix this alien queen.
Mark your calendars and plan to attend PIY 2017. PIY is the Podcast It Yourself Workshop, and it's happening in Phoenix, Arizona, October 28th, 2017. This interactive workshop is being held for people who want to start a podcast or want to learn more about podcasting from experienced and respected podcasters. Learn about software, hardware, accessories, best practices, and more. And of course, we've got prize drawings to make podcasters weak in the knees. The workshop coincides with the long-awaited release of Podcasting for Dummies 3rd Edition. Authors T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi will be at DIY to answer questions and sign books. Oh, and it also happens to be T's birthday, so come help him celebrate after the workshop is done. You do not want to miss this event. Spaces are limited. Go to podcastingfordummies.com and sign up for PIY 2017. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Podcastingfordummies.com and PIY 2017. Go. Now.